May God bless each one here this morning. We do welcome you, each one. And Papa Sim already mentioned it is a special service. We will be taking Brother Rick as a member, and we will have a baptism for Brother Bob. And we'll do that at the end of the service. So we're going to try to have a message here, and then we will take care of that. I'm sure you have noticed that before without me telling you that I like pictures and word pictures. I remember as a child, we used to come and visit the United States from El Salvador once in a while. And one of the things we could buy with little money and a lot of stuff was magazines. And I remember my mom enjoyed reading. And she bought a lot of magazines for cheap, probably at the thrift stores, yard sales, I don't know where all she bought these things. We had a lot of National Geographic magazines. And of course, you know, I went through my schooling years in Spanish. I did not read English at all. And I remember sitting on the porch of our house. Some of our buddies would come and visit and play with us. And sometimes we were just tired of playing the same games over and over. And I remember one of our activities consisted of sitting down and looking at the magazines. So we'll get the National Geographic and we just page through them and just see and watch the pictures. And we went to a lot of different places. National Geographic had reports on all kinds of places in the world. And we went there with the pictures. Right? Well, this morning, I thought about a picture that I would like to point it to you. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Here we have a picture of something that I would like to share this morning for the occasion. We will have a baptism this morning and would like to compare it to this picture. Now, I will tell you that I am fully aware that this passage was not written for baptism. Okay? I hope I'm not doing injustice to the word, to this passage, but I understand that it's not written for baptism. But still, I thought about my tendency of looking up pictures and making some connections here, and I thought it was fitting as well. But here in Exodus chapter 21, we have a picture. Maybe I said the wrong reference, but it's Exodus 21, verse 1 through 6, that we want to see this picture. And the title for the message is simply Pierced Ear. A pierced ear. Now, in our society today, a pierced ear means something totally different than what is happening here at this picture. This is not what we're talking about, that you go and get a pierce in your ear to put some kind of earring. Okay? We don't promote that. We feel like that is not according to the scriptures. But here there is a practice, a very interesting practice, that somebody had a hole punched through his ear. So that is the title of the message, Pierced Ear. Exodus 21, 1 through 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If we were married, then his wife should go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. And he shall serve him forever. And that's what that picture that I wanted to show you this morning is. Point number one that I want to pull out of this, making some parallels with a baptism of baptism, is we want to look at it that this servant was bought. Okay? A servant here, I'm assuming it was a slave. But if you notice in verse 2, if you buy an Hebrew servant. So the master had to spend some money to buy this person. For whatever reason, I don't understand the culture of this setting or what was going on. Why did they have to buy a servant? Maybe he couldn't pay his debt. I'm not sure what all it took place here. But it says specifically, if you buy a Hebrew servant. So my point is simply, again, this was not written for baptism, but I'm borrowing the picture here. And I had to think about, as we reflect on our own salvation, we understand that there was a price that was paid. And I have preached this point in several messages. And I keep preaching it again. That there is a price. There was a price paid for our salvation. And again, I'm reminded of that little saying. It's not original with me, but I found it very profound and simple. That our salvation is free, but was not cheap. And I hope and pray that our minds can be wrapped around that truth of what was the price that it took for Jesus Christ to purchase us as his servants. That's my point. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So there it is. It was with the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And again, the word ransom there is simply redemption. It says ransom in full. "In whom we have redemption." We sang that song whenever we are at the end of our lives and we have to depart through death. "Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul." Redemption simply means that we were kidnapped. Oh, of course, I have told you this before, I keep telling you, but that whenever time I see the word redemption and ransom, I always have to think of kidnappings, because that's what they do. They capture a person and demand money for a ransom. You pay a certain amount of money, we deliver this person that's been kidnapped. And if you don't pay the money, we will kill him. That's simple. So every time I have to think about this, you know what? This is very true. Very true. And there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against a couple of different things that he says there. And one of them is, it says that the rulers of darkness of this world. And I have told you this before. Again, I keep repeating that, so I should quit telling you that. But there, the word world, the rulers, it's two words in Greek. It comes from two different Greek words. That is cosmo, which means the world. You know, we refer to the world, the planet Earth, as el cosmos, the cosmos. And then the other word is krato, which is an epithet, I forget how you say it, of Satan. But man, the world cosmo krato is the world ruler. Another word for Satan is what I'm trying to say. But the cosmo is the world, and krato or krateo means that he has used strength and seized the world. Okay? So that is the rulers or darkness of this world. It simply means it's Satan himself, but he has captured the world. Through sin, he captured humanity. He captured the human race. and he retains it with strength. He has laid hold and he retains it there. And that is the captivity that we find ourselves in sin. Is we under the sway of the wicked one. We are under the control of the rulers of darkness. And that is where Jesus Christ came to deliver us. And he paid the price to give us redemption. So that is the point number one. As we look into baptism, we are celebrating the fact that we have acknowledged that Jesus has paid the price for my sins. Point number two. If you notice, here sometimes the master gave the servant something. Here it says, if he came by himself, whenever at the end of the 6 years, of the seventh year, he will go out by himself. If he came, brought a wife, whenever he was bought with a price as a servant, he will go out with his wife. But it says a lot of times, I imagine that the masters, if he came by himself, he probably gave him a wife. They can bear children, and the children could be the masters as well. I don't know how much selfishness was involved in this. But maybe he was a kind master and he wanted him to have a companion and gave him a wife. You know what? It's a poor comparison, I know, but God always gives us something. Whenever he buys us from our sins, he always gives us a companion. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he has given to each one of us His Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 and 14, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Unto the praise of his glory. So he has given us his down payment. We always refer to that earnest of our inheritance. It's the title or it's the document that is an earnest that we give or down payment for a transaction. So Jesus Christ has given us a companion, and it is the Holy Spirit that he has given us. And this is very connected, or probably the main focus of baptism, is that we have received the Holy Spirit. And we do an outward ceremony to remind us of a spiritual truth, right? That's an ordinance. We do an outward ceremony to remind us of an important spiritual truth. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into this one Spirit. So it's through the Spirit of God that we are born, that we are baptized into one body, the universal Church of Christ. We are, because we have the Spirit of God, and then we take it a step further, we do it with water, and we say, now you are baptized into this local congregation. The application is very precious there as we observe this. Point number three, and this is where I wish we could develop more and more. I just notice in verse 5, whenever the master, he gave him something. He gave him a companion. Let's imagine, hopefully for the goodness of his heart, not selfishly. He gave that companion to the servant. And the servant started reflecting. He started reflecting. And he says, you know what? I really love my master. I really do. I mean, I have it made here. You know, I don't know what the scenarios were. I don't think there's many examples, if any example, in the Old Testament, this particular picture right here that I'm aware of. Maybe you can think of one and share it with me later. But he started loving the master. That is my point. Love for the master. Love for the master. We need to develop our love for him. And maybe I'm not going to take the time to read the story there in Luke chapter 7. I'm going to turn to it because I might misquote it. But here in Luke chapter 7, we have the story whenever Jesus went into the Pharisee's house. I think his name was Simon, if I am correct. 7:36 through 50. 7:36. He came into this house. One of the Pharisees wanted to have him for a meal, and he came. And there was a woman, verse 37, a woman in the city which was a sinner, which when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And you know that rest of the story, right? The Pharisee said, man, this man, if he would be a prophet, he will know what kind of woman is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, of course, he perceived his thoughts. He says, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 150. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he went and challenged him that he didn't even give him water to wash his feet. And this woman has washed my feet with her tears. You didn't even give me a towel, and she wiped them with her hair. You didn't even anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Brothers and sisters, may this be a challenge for each one of us, that we will see our sinfulness and that we will see the tremendous debt that we had. None of us owe the 50. We all are on the same boat with the one that owed 500. We all had the great debt of sin to pay. And the master has paid the price, has given you his spirit, and in return we need to grow in our love for him. And that will bring us to point number 4 of our servant there in Exodus chapter 21. Whenever he starts thinking, he says, you know what? I love my master and, of course, my wife and my children. And then he made a conscious decision. A conscious decision. He says, I will not go free. He made a statement there, and he said, you know what? Because of what this master has done for me, I'm staying. I am going to serve him out of love for him, out of what he has done for me. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Of righteousness. This man could have went on his own. By the law, this was the law. That's what the purpose of this passage was. To tell him that if they buy a servant, they can only keep him for 6 years. In the seventh year, he has to go free unless he chooses to stay. And that is so true for each one of us. God is a God that has given us each one a will. Whosoever will. He could have made us robots, right? But you cannot have a good relationship with a robot unless you program it a certain way. God made us creatures with a will. And you and I can go free. I mean, you know what I mean by free, right? People think that they're free to do whatever they want to, but that's not true. It's a false freedom, to be honest with you. That's what Romans is saying, that if whether you present yourself for sin, you are a slave to sin. But the world, we have this mentality as humans that whenever we go and do whatever I want to do, then I'm free. It's a false freedom, but you understand that. You can go. You don't have to serve the Lord. You don't have to serve the master. It's not your obligation, per se. I think we can take it a little far, but you know what I mean. But this man said, no, I'm staying. He made a conscious decision. And that's what we do with baptism. With baptism, we are saying, I'm staying. I want to serve the Lord. And that brings me to my last point. Point number five is that they had to do a procedure here. They had to take him to the judges. And he will take him to the doorpost or to the door or the doorpost, one of the two. And his master would do something to him that will mark him for the rest of his life. And that was, he will get a pierced ear. A pierced ear. There's a couple of things that we can make a parallel with a baptism. And one of them is that's a public statement. Okay, they have to go to the judges. So today you are kind of the judges, right? We bring Brother Bob and Brother Rick before y'all in a public way. In a public way. And in Brother Bob's case, we will do the ceremony of baptism. And this is going to be public. And I remember when I was a youngster, I was about 13 years old when I gave my life to the Lord, and I was about 15 years old whenever I was baptized. And of course, we live in that community. We didn't have the luxury that we have here of being more of a separate society than the rest of us, than the rest of the culture. And I remember very, very vividly that it hit me that day that I was baptized, that I was showing to everybody. The whole community is going to know that Henry was baptized. And that I was conscientiously identifying myself with the Lord. I remember that. And I have very close friends that were not Christians. That my best friends growing up are still to this day non-believers. And I remember they made a big impact in my own mind that day they would know who I'm going to identify with. Praise God for that. It was in public. So this is a public thing. And he also, it was very close attached to the house. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm guessing the doorpost was around the door. Or the door, it says. So it was had to do something by implication, probably. It was closely attached to that house and family, right? At the door. So at this door post is what happened. So this servant was a servant for life. For life to this household. To this household. That he was bound to hear. And also this is another interesting thing. That it was significant because it was the ear. Now he will have his ear open, you know, I'm sure the ear was still open before. Excuse me. But the ear had a hole in it, in resembling that he was ready to obey the orders. Right? And there's a prophecy in Psalms. I'm not going to take the time to get into that. That was Jesus, probably a Jesus prophecy, and it's very fascinating that he said that he will open my ear to do the will of the Father. And maybe I should have went into that, but we're not going to do that. The point I'm trying to make here is that as we become a servant for the Lord, for our master for life, We have our ear open to hear what the Lord has for each one, to do His will. Luke 9:57, he says, "And it came to pass that as they went in that way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at the home of my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." What was Jesus trying to teach this man? It was this principle right here. You become a servant for life. Volunteer. Volunteer servant. Not obligation, but as a response for the love that we have developed for the Master and for the price that He has paid and what He has given us. We voluntarily say, Lord, I want to serve You. Pierce my ear, oh Lord. I think there's some songs there out there that use this illustration for that. So I want to challenge you to do that. And as we go through the remainder of the service here, we hope that this can be a reality for our lives. The Bible teaches us that we need to go to all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In accordance with this declaration of the Word of God, or what I just read, or Matthew 28, these dear souls, Brother Rick and Brother Bob, I know Brother Rick is not going to be baptized, but we will put him in these words here. These dear souls have presented themselves before us for the purpose of being baptized, thus making their covenant with God and being received into the communion and fellowship of the church. They have been instructed in the doctrines of the gospel and the ordinance and requirements of the church. They have given evidence that the Spirit of God impels them in their purpose and that they are willing to reject sin and the world in order to consecrate themselves to the service of God. They have chosen to be disciples of Christ, as we now are witnesses of these solemn exercises. Let each of us remember our own covenant. Let us pray that the solemn promises that will be made here today before God and this congregation may be made in all sincerity. May God bless and establish these beloved souls in His grace, that they may be strong in the Lord, being zealous of good works. May they be ornaments in the Christian church, bright lights in this dark world, faithful in everything until the end. As there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, so may our hearts rejoice that God has directed these precious souls to turn from their former ways to enter into the fold of Christ. In our rejoicing, let us also pray for that God may lead many more to follow their good example. Amen.